It's time for JT the Brick.
Make me a shirt that says, the Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. We're 8-0 against them. We've been blowing out the donkeys 8 in a row. I repeat, 8 in a row, 4 seasons of firing their coaches. They got fired, Nathaniel Hackett, because they lost to the Raiders. By the way, that's true. They can't handle losing to the Raiders. You can't beat the Raiders, you're fired. And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
JT the Brick.
I'll say this now, and you can clip it and put it on another show. The Las Vegas Raiders need to win 3 out of 4 games combined against the Chargers and Denver. Does that make sense? The second best roster is the Raiders. By a long shot over Denver, I'm fighting off the donkey fans that think they have the greatest coach.
Sean Payton sat on that couch for a year. Must have had 1 lunch and 2 dinners, and now everybody in the Fox lot's a fan of Sean Payton.
The Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
By the way, that's true.
And now.
And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
Here's JT the Brick.
Well, we call that the Bronco Open. And it's not good if the Raiders don't win. So we'll have to delete that Monday. Remember, we deleted the Charger Open. Remember the Harbaugh Open? We had to delete that because the Raiders lost. So I don't want to delete that. That's called an open, right? That's our imaging from Bobby. Takes a while to put that together because they won 8 in a row. 8 in a row. And I'm hoping it's 9 in a row, but the Raiders got to win that game. So we're diving into the analysis of the Raiders at the Broncos. I just got an email because I'm on the media side of it on the Broncos and what they're doing pregame with their Ring of Honor. So they're going all in. They're going all in on beating the Raiders. They're bringing every living alumni back. The place is going to be a madhouse. They're wearing their throwbacks. So Raider Nation, get ready for that one. I'm going to the Syracuse UNLV game tomorrow night, and my friend Jay Vickers is kind enough to join us, the Chief Operating Officer for the Sports Innovation Institute at UNLV, and Jay does a lot in this community. He's one of the best of the best, and he's vested in this game because he helped put together this unbelievable event that tied in Syracuse and UNLV. Jay, busy week for you. Thanks for making some time, my friend.
JT, as always, it's great to hear your voice, and it's great to be on the Brick, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. What's at stake with this game? I know the business relationship with Mr. Falk and UNLV and how you brought so many people out here. And by the way, I want to thank you for that because that was the last time I saw Pete Rose. And, you know, Pete Rose is a good friend of mine, and he met my son, and we took a photo. And, you know, Pete did a lot for me in my life and career. And I'm so at peace, even though it's been a really tough week, I'm so at peace because the last time I saw Pete was at Virgin Hotels, and we had a good 5-10 minutes with my son, and that really is getting me through this week because we lost the all-time hit king.
Well, I got to tell you, going back to that, Pete Rose is definitely was an incredible man. Obviously, his story has been told in many different fashions, but the fact that he showed up to CCon for our inaugural event was great, as well as many others. And that's exactly what we want to do, is create these type of lasting moments for folks through these type of collaborations that we have with Syracuse and UNLV. And I think we're just scratching the surface on what that is.
Tell us about this game coming up, and how come we haven't seen it more? I went to college in upstate New York, Geneseo State. Syracuse was the closest big school to me. So I grew up going to the Dome, going to a lot of games. I was very tight with Jim Brown throughout my life, and I knew what it was like to go to the Dome to see Syracuse football. And then moving out here in the 90s, going out to Sam Boyd, now there's Allegiant Stadium. What brought Syracuse and UNLV together for this weekend?
I think, like everything that you see, it's today's world is about relationships. And through CCon, we have had the opportunity to meet some really great folks up in upstate New York at Syracuse. And I had the opportunity to meet with John Wowhack and introduce him to our great athletic director, Eric Harper, who has just had an incredible past couple weeks, as you can imagine, with a lot of things that he's been dealing with to continue our trajectory upward for UNLV Athletics and for our community. And with those relationships, you know, these athletic directors, when they have some of these type games, they can make a decision on who they want to play and when they want to play. And thankful to how we built CCon and started this relationship, it allowed Eric Harper and John Wowhack to have a really good conversation. So, you know what? We should probably do this game together, too. You have a great opening. At the same time, we have an opening thanks to Army leaving the conference. Let's do something that hasn't been done before as East meets West. And what other place to do it at than Allegiant Stadium here in Las Vegas? There's tons of alums for Syracuse on the West Coast. Obviously, we're home. I expect a jam-packed game, a very competitive game, but I also have to have my loyalty to the Rebels.
Absolutely. Being here in Vegas, it's a big moment here. Jay Vickers is our guest. And, you know, UNLV is playing really well. Syracuse should be undefeated there. They just stubbed their toe. But I like what you said about this. You know, working for the Raiders and seeing the sellouts, and a lot of that has to do with the stadium and the global brand of the Raiders. There are a lot of Browns fans. Steelers are coming in. I haven't put pressure on it because it's not my lane, but I thought the UNLV student-athletes and students needed to step up more and buy more tickets. It feels like they are. I know people that are buying suites now at a really big clip. And then, you know, the ability to eventually open up the second deck and the third deck. This is a Division I football team. And the talk about their quarterback leaving, NIL, we'll save that for another conversation. But this community here and the UNLV alumni and the people that live from Summerlin to Green Valley and Henderson got to show up and support this program, Jay.
Well, I agree with you, but I will say this. We have some great alums, some great supporters, and our students are getting really excited about the great work our athletic department has done, led by Eric Harper. I think he's done a great job of making it very easy for students to attend, as well as our president, as far as pushing out the marketing materials, bringing the excitement. And look, it's a fun team to watch.
Yes.
Coach Odom has been incredible in his time here at UNLV, and 9-3 last year, winning a bowl game, going to a bowl game, in a very competitive bowl game, beating them in a rematch at Kansas. He's doing some incredible things, and it all starts with leadership, and that leadership is from top to bottom, and you're seeing this team gel together in a place that I think all of our fans here in our community should be happy and proud about.
Jay Vickers joins us as we wrap it up, as we preview UNLV hosting Syracuse. So I like the Friday night game instead of Saturday. There's a lot of college football on Saturday, and sometimes people get caught up in their team and their alma mater. So why Friday? And tell everybody how to get their tickets. What's the last-minute move for people who say, man, that's a big game in our town. I got to get out to it.
I say you go into UNLVtickets.com. Look to purchase your tickets now. It's going to be an incredible game. I know our team is fired up. They're ready to go. Playing on Friday night is huge. It gives people opportunity to enjoy the evening. But also, there's no better place, in my opinion, than to watch a football game. I'm incredibly biased to watch a football game in Allegiant Stadium and to do it in Washington following the Rebels. So I think there's going to be a great opportunity for some family fun, but also have the opportunity to cheer on a really, really good football team who, for the first time ever, is ranked in the AP Top 25 and in the Coaches Poll.
Yeah, that's amazing. The ranking is great. Syracuse comes in as a big-time program that travels well. I will be there. I will see you. I might catch you tonight over at Virgin Hotels. Thanks for doing this, Jay. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely, JT. See you soon, brother.
You got it, buddy. There he is, Jay Vickers. Does a lot in this community. You know, we try to put on community leaders and people who try to make a difference. And CCon, when they put together that unbelievable weekend with Syracuse, it was the David B. Falk College of Sports and Human Dynamics at Syracuse, UNLV, Sports' Innovation Institute, USA Today was there, Virgin Hotels was behind that. And again, it was the last time I saw Pete Rose. And you never know, and it's a good time for me to pause for a moment and just say this quickly. You never know when it's going to be the last time you see someone. You never know, right? So you want to go see that person and say goodbye and thank them. And when I went and saw Pete, and I was there, and I knew Pete was going to be there, and I showed up, and my son was with me, and we had the badges on. We're in the conference center, and Pete was doing a sit-down, and he saw me, and he smiled, and he said, "Gave me the, wait a second, I'll be right there." I said, "Pete, this is my son, who you met when he was like 3 or 4, and they just walked away and talked for about 2 minutes. Yeah, your dad did this, your dad talking about me." And my son was nodding his head, and then at the end they took a photo. That was the last time I saw Pete. And, man, I just wish we would have kind of connected at Barry's, Chef Barry's Steakhouse at Circa, or just something along the way. Because I know if I called him today and I said, "Hey, Pete, what are you doing?" He said, "Hey," he would take my call. And I left Pete's number in my phone, just like I left Jim Brown's number in my phone and Jim Otto's number in my phone. And my mentor, Andrew Ashwood. Well, I'll never hit delete. Never delete the people's numbers in my contacts who move on. Just keep them there, and every once in a while I'll look towards it. So This week for me, with all due respect to the Raiders and the Broncos, was about Pete Rose. And wrapping up, and maybe we do have a few minutes of our conversation with Pete that Bobby wanted to kind of reposition for tomorrow, and I agreed to. I want to hear that one more time, and we'll do that then. Thanks again to Jay Vickers for joining us. Out to Kyle in Colorado. Everybody's calling today from Colorado. Look at this, Raider Nation. Go ahead.
Hey, JT. I'm actually in West Virginia, so
okay,
a little bit further from. But it's only 70 degrees here. But I want to first off say I'm sorry for your loss of your friend. You're absolutely right. You never know when it's going to be the last time. I talked to my grandfather 4 hours before he passed away, so I definitely understand that. I just wanted the keys to the game this week. Got to feed Brock Bowers. You got to feed him. Yeah. 9-10 targets at least. The teams that the Broncos have played this year, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Jets, these teams have only targeted their tight ends a total of 17 times. The tight ends have 8 receptions for 47 yards. We got to do better than that. We got to target him at least 9 or 10 times. He's going to have a 100-yard game, a touchdown or two. And then I think we got to rely on this run game. It was there last week. Hopefully we can be more consistent with it. But the Broncos the last couple weeks have struggled against run. They allowed 123 yards against the Jets and 89 against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I know they ended up winning those two, but I think those are the two big key areas. The run game, we got to get that stability, and we got to feed Brock Bowers. He fell to us. We were lucky to get him at 13. Now we got to feed him. If we're going to be without Devontae, Brock Bowers, next man up, him and Jacoby's going to have a big game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Appreciate the call. Look, Brock Bowers should be the focus of the Raiders until they find a running game. I know Zamir White had a groin yesterday. I don't know the status of Zamir. I will find out when the injury report comes out. So I know a couple of people have texted me on this. If the Raiders had a dominant running game, at times with Josh Jacobs, at times he was a dominant runner. So I'd look at Josh going into a game like this. I'd be like, the Raiders are good. They're going to run the ball 30 times with Josh or 25. And then maybe hit Waller, Devontae, or Renfro. Waller's out of the league, by the way. And Hunter hasn't been signed. Okay? So he's out of the league, too. I wish nothing but the best for both those guys. So a lot of changes happened around here. Okay, from the first pick of what's happened here in Vegas when you looked at Henry Ruggs III and the awful news surrounding him. I always meant to mention Tina Tintor when I bring that up and her passing away with her dog. Horrific story. And then that's a different category. So everybody calm down. That's a different category, which was awful. Then you look at Clee Farrell taking number 4, Tyree Wilson taking number 7. Hope Tyree plays better. Hunter Renfro was a different player. Darren Waller fell out of love with football. I mean, come on. What's going on here? Everybody needs to do their job and play their ass off every game. Most of them, the majority of them do. All of them. But then you look back at 4 or 5 years and you say, why didn't that work? And don't tell me it was the owner. The owner sits in his box with an blank checkbook to hire anybody who wants to be there. If it doesn't work out, he lets them go pretty quickly, too. And, you know, the scheme behind the Gruden emails and what happened there with the league, don't get me going. A lot of things have been bizarre and crazy around here. But we got a game against Denver. And most great Raider fans understand that. And they'll go, hey, man, it is kind of weird. I can't believe Devontae doesn't want to potentially be here. Look, we haven't heard that from Devontae, by the way. But you got a game to play. I don't care if you played Pop Warner, you played high school. This is professional. Whatever happens, you need to be available to play for your team. Unless there's something personal like Michael Mayer, which you haven't heard me address, personal, or it's business related and we're trying to find a way to rectify that business because it's professional football. And we're going to come to the end of this deal coming up here soon. So I think the Raiders, they got so many guys who are hurt and are not nowhere near 100%. But I like the way Tom Telesco, and I really mean this, I like the way that Tom Telesco built the practice squad. You know, we got one of our opens that say, this isn't the show of the practice squad. And why do I say that? Because I don't pay attention to the practice squad until they get called up. well, they're getting called up. And they're playing pretty good, right? We're seeing guys come off the bench and play well. But you can only go so far with your practice squad and your backups. And when they get hurt, now Tom's got to call other teams and go, hey, the guy you cut. He's not on your team. You cut him. Tell me about him. I might need him here. I mean, that's where we're at now. We got to find some players who can stay healthy around here. And I think going into this Denver game, if the Raiders were at full strength, no problem would win this game. They're banged up and Denver isn't. And Denver's won two in a row. It's going to be a hard game. Another hard game. I think the Raiders are the better team, but it's hard to figure out and look at a game like this. Raider Ty in Colorado. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks, JT. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to a local sports radio show here in Denver, and one of the people on there was Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, Stink. Yeah, I love Stink.
Yeah. Well, I don't. He said the Raiders are the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL, and everybody wants out. He said that it starts at the top with the owner's haircut. Called him a clown.
I'm sorry he did that, because I know Mark for years, and he's a professional broadcaster, and he works for Fox and calls games. So I like,
yeah, I
no, but here's my point. If he really said that about our owner, I don't know if he has a game that's going to be broadcast in Vegas. I'm very surprised to hear he would say that.
He said it. You guys go to 104.3 The Fan in Denver and research it. He said it. And he also said he was on a conference call this morning with Rich Gannon and others discussing Steve Wisniewski's Hall of Fame, you know, induction potentially. And Gannon said supposedly to Schlereth on this conference call that the Raiders are just totally dysfunctional.
All right, get off the show. You're an idiot to say that about Rich Gannon on my show. So that is a planted call and you're full of crap. So Rich Gannon would never say that. Never say that. Okay, so you're full of crap. I apologize that you got on the air for our audience there. That is total garbage. I was kind of sniffing it out, letting you hear what he said, because he was talking about Schlereth, who I like. But then you bring up Rich Gannon and you defame him for that. I had Rich Gannon on Monday. You'll hear it on Friday. We play a little bit of that. So again, you know, that's on me. That's on me for letting that clown talk for an extra minute or two. I apologize for that. 702-365-9200. So we have two guests coming up back-to-back. Kevin Bollinger, the sports director at Fox 5, is going to join us. And then Brandon Cristal will join us from the Broncos side. He's really good, and we'll get him up there coming up here in a little bit. So that's what we got going on. Those gentlemen will join us on the other side. We'll get a full preview of the Denver Broncos coming up from a really good reporter who's embedded with the team. And then our friend Kevin Bollinger is the sports director for Fox 5, and he's going to join us. And we're going to talk to him about the Devontae. He covers the Devontae story as good as anybody. And the Golden Knights play tonight, right, Bobby? They play tonight. Hey, we're brought to you by Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Give it a taste. You'll love it. It'll be the best tequila you've had.
Yeah, I think, you know, the best way to describe him is, I was just saying this to somebody else, like, when he experiences something one time, and most of the time he still handles it really well, but if he didn't, the next time he nails it. So, like, he's just, you know, the pro mentality that he has, where, you know, I'm going to figure this thing out. He has that relentless mentality, but then goes to experience it one time, and then the very next time he dominates it. So that's really cool for such a young guy to be able to do that so quickly. And I think each and every week he gets more comfortable with what's going on. And, you know, he's still a rookie. He still has a couple things that each week that we're trying to get better at. But I think on an overall basis, I think he handles all that stuff, all the new stuff, really well.
That's Luke Getsy earlier today on Brock Bowers and how to get him involved more, which is really good sound, Bobby Polt. Appreciate him doing that quick. JT. Back with you as we continue on. We're brought to you by Modelo. The fighting spirit of Modelo, the number one beer in America, is actually Modelo. Proud partner of our show. Let's have some fighting spirit. with Modelo and our partnership going into Denver. So there's a lot of reports here on Davante Adams. Ian Rappaport said Raiders star wide receiver Davante Adams would prefer to be traded. And he went on a full breakdown of it. And Ian Rappaport's very good. And he pulled back and basically said, and didn't pull back, but he said, he's not traded. Okay, let's remember, Davante has not been traded. So for everybody who's asking me about the leverage of when to move him, I don't know. I mean, the sooner you move him, the higher the pick you're probably going to get. That's one way of looking at it. And if the Jets really want him desperately, the Raiders could be 3-1 or 0-4. They're 2-2, and you could have made the call weeks ago. Everybody missing that point? Everybody who was rumored around, when I got all the Davante calls about Netflix, oh, my God, he's not happy. I'm like, no, that was him get in the games. You see how they edited that Netflix show? They didn't even show the win against Kansas City. Ooh, I wonder who the editor was of receivers who didn't put the Raiders beating Kansas City. You know, the last team to beat the Raiders was Kansas City. So that's another thing, Bobby, quickly. I put out a tweet today. Man, we got some wise asses around here in the Raider Nation. I put out a nice tweet about the coach because the coach gave me time yesterday. And I said, the coach is the last coach to beat Kansas City. Fact. The only coach in Raiders history to have a franchise record 63 points. Fact. And the coach of record who was down and beat Baltimore in Baltimore. Fact. Oh, then here comes the brigade. Well, he lost to Minnesota. Oh, he did this. Breaking news on his run at ASU. What happened with this order at ASU that he can't go back? I get it. You can find negativity on everyone you want. And these are fans who have, like, profile pictures that have the silver and black and the Raider shield. These are fans of the Raiders who are getting into my polluted Twitter, the pollution of my Twitter. When I try to tweet something nice, and I just hammer them back in their DMs. Just hammer those cowards back. Direct shot to them. Because people like to throw stones, man, but they don't like when stones are thrown back at them. Now, if someone picks up a rock and throws it at you, you can say, all right, I ducked, I missed. Or you can take the rock and throw it right back. But the trolls, they're out there. Thank God 98.4% of Raider fans are not trolls. They come up to the torch and want selfies. They really do. They want selfies with Eric Allen. They're the nicest people you ever met. Nicest people you ever met. But the Twitter tough guys, man, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, and they know where to find me, at JT the Brick. I will always support this team. I will always, always, always go out there and go big. Hopefully they win games. And if they don't win games, you know where to find me. You find me the next day back on the show, taking it. And as I'd like to have said as of late, blame me. Don't blame anyone else. Blame me. I dropped the ball. I fumbled. I jumped off sides. Blame me, because I have nothing more I'd like to do. Brandon Cristal, what a great reporter he is. Great friend of mine. Guy grinds about as hard as anybody I know, and he's embedded with the Broncos, and he joins us, and I appreciate that KOA in Colorado. So I'm getting a lot of heat, man. People are saying stinks on a show, making fun of our owner. We're going to win. Denver's going to win. Raiders have won 8 in a row. It's getting groovy out here in Vegas. I can imagine the Bronco fans can't wait for this Ring of Honor Hall of Fame ceremony. They know the Raiders are coming into town, my friend.
Yeah, and they're wearing the throwbacks, JT. They've already put out the renderings. They're going to have a throwback field. They won't have a Broncos logo in the middle. It'll just be pretty bare with NFL logos at the 20s or wherever they are, and Broncos in the end zone with old-school writing, old-school uniforms. Raiders, look, one of the coolest things about the Raiders is that their uniforms never change, so they're also wearing throwbacks by just wearing their regular gear. But if Davante Adams isn't playing, and I wouldn't think any real reason to doubt some of those reports, and you don't know about Max Crosby, and you look at the MASH unit when you're talking about your tackles and everything else, if the Broncos can't find a way, coming off two straight, good road win in Tampa and then a gritty win in the rain Sunday. If they can't find a way to snap this 8-game losing streak and beat the Raiders, who are going through all of this stuff between them, Antonio Pierce off the field, stuff that may or may not be an issue, but it's something he has to at least talk about, and then the Davante and other injuries, then they have, at this point, it could turn into this streak like the Chiefs where they had lost 15 straight. If the Broncos don't win this game Sunday, then I think all bets are off on the entire season. I mean, they will. It's the NFL. We know weird things can happen, but the car right, the stars are aligning for them to win this game at home on Sunday with the alumni back and Randy Gradishar and Ring of Fame and all of that.
Yeah, this is good. I'm happy they're doing that because the Raiders, you know, the Raiders, you've been here. They do all that. You know, the Raiders bring back their alumni. They had 260 alumni, and they can't even get them in the regular season game because it takes 500 tickets because they got like 250 of them back with the guest. I think it's great that the Broncos are doing that, especially after a Hall of Famer who was long overdue. As I told you, I cannot believe that the Broncos didn't go from 0-2 to potentially 0-4 because they were at Baker Mayfield and at Aaron Rodgers. I think Denver's going to win games, and they might beat the Raiders, but I didn't think they'd beat Aaron Rodgers, who this is his all-in season. And how the hell did they beat Baker Mayfield in Tampa?
Well, Baker Mayfield, again, is a little bit of the stars aligning. Vita Vea, who doesn't miss a lot of games, missed that game. So there's your big run stuffer in the middle that completely changes the way they play. They got banged up linebacker, Antoine Winfield, who's all-pro safety, maybe the best safety in football. He didn't play. Their right tackle, who Aiden Hutchinson picked on for 5 sacks the week before, then got picked on by the Broncos. They were able to rack up 7 sacks, and they were able to come out with a good game plan and put 14 points up early. And even when the Bucs scored, they came down and got a field goal. So that was far and away the most complete game and best win of the year, without question. But to grind it out against the Jets, to find the end zone the one time, the Jets are down on the 1-yard line. They get a goal line stand there. They're able to just hold them to 3 field goals. Aaron Rodgers at home to 3 field goals, even in a rainstorm. And Bo Nix has the lone touchdown pass. It's got to build their confidence to a level that it hasn't been certainly in a long time around here.
So Brandon Cristall's our guest, KOA in Denver. So the Raiders, with the streak they've been on against the Broncos and the coaches who were there, we all knew that Sean was different. And former Raider Johnny Moe, Johnny Morton, and the other coaches that they brought in there, and Vance. And these are good coaches. I've always respected the coaches here, but it didn't click. And now I'm seeing Bo Nix, and I know he's going to struggle as a rookie. But, man, when you gave me a heads up, I used it on the show yesterday with the coach, this defense. Name the couple of players on defense that have turned this around for the Broncos in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Pat Surtain is where you start, and we've seen him play well against Devontae Adams, but Devontae get the best of him at times, including last year and the year before. But Pat Surtain, for most people's money, is the best corner in football, and he's locked down the number one receiver, whether that's DK Metcalf or Mike Evans or last week Garrett Wilson, you know, at an all-pro kind of level. But it's two other guys, Zach Allen, who they brought over from Arizona with Vance Joseph and gave him a nice contract a year ago. And he's just, similar to Max Crosby, right? He doesn't take plays off. It's every snap. There's a relentlessness. And for an interior D lineman who grew up under J.J. Watt at the end of J.J.'s career, and he's wearing 99 now like J.J., he's playing like him. He's number one or two in the league in interior and pressure for interior D linemen. And so he's living in the backfield. Every time Rodgers tried to get loose, Zach Allen was right there. And so Rodgers would have to throw the ball away or just run out of bounds for no gain. And then Brandon Jones comes in for Justin Simmons, who everyone knows how good Justin was in his 8 years here and all the interceptions and the Pro Bowls and a couple second-team All-Pros. And now he's in Atlanta because they want to move on from the salary. They bring in Brandon Jones, who is, according to Pro Football Focus, the 10th best safety or 10th best defensive player in football this year. And he's got an interception, a fumble forced the other day, a fumble recovery as well against the Bucks, and he's making people around here not miss Justin Simmons as much. And then also the other one too, John Franklin Myers, who they got for a steal draft week because the Jets were so upside down on their cap. They were saving carving out space for Hassan Reddick. John Franklin Myers has really fortified that D line group up front because he's one of those guys, similar to Derek Wolfe, who's here for a long time, like best players to not be in a Pro Bowl to this point. Through his 6 years, he's been really, really good, especially with the Jets. He's destroyed the Broncos the last couple of years, and now he's on their side. And so those guys have really helped step this defense up.
Brandon Cristall joins us. Follow him at BK Denver Sports. He's fantastic. Longtime friend of mine. I go to him on a lot of different topics, but especially everything that's happening with the Broncos. So where are the Broncos vulnerable? Because the Raiders, you saw that injury report. It's insane. You got 9 guys who can't even practice, and they're starters, or 8 or 9 of them. And the Broncos look pretty clean on their injury report as of now. What's been the weakness of the Broncos?
Well, consistency with the offense and an inability to really run the football. But the last 2 weeks, in the second half especially, and it helps when you have a lead. But 2 weeks ago in Tampa, they ran the ball really well. And then Javonte Williams finally looked like the Javonte Williams we all remember before he got hurt in Vegas 2 years ago in week 4 and destroyed his knee and so many people's fantasy hopes that year. And so, but they hadn't really run it consistently. So if you can keep him from running the football, especially because Bo Nix, who was their leading rusher for the first two games, only at 25 yards, and he wasn't overly dynamic, he wasn't doing what Jaden Daniels was doing. If you can keep them from running the ball, Bo Nix certainly isn't the proficient passer that he was at Oregon consistently. He looked good against Tampa, but he did not look great, rain or otherwise, against the Jets. So if you can make them one-dimensional, they also don't have receivers that really get away from people. And the ones that do, they don't get them the ball, like Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims. But when you look at Cortland Sutton and Josh Reynolds and even the tight end Greg Dulcich, not a lot of separation. The metrics, you know, it's gotten a little better since Week 1 against Seattle, and part of that has to do with Seattle, but it hasn't been great. And so I think that if you can make them one-dimensional, you can certainly make things harder for their offense and perplex Sean Payton, I guess.
Brandon Cristal's our guest. I think this game is the Minshew game for me because you've covered Minshew's career. It's been pretty good. You know, he's a backup. He comes in. He can take a team 7-8 weeks and put you in contention for the playoffs. He's no bum. This guy can play. But the one thing that I want to say before I go back here, and we'll get into this, is Minshew has to have a really big game. He can't manage the game. Minshew has to go out and play a game where he can put the team on his back, run for first downs. You remember Jimmy Garoppolo last year opened the season in Denver and ran to close the game out, slid in bounds. Everyone was like, oh, my God, Jimmy G just won the game. In a really tight game, Garoppolo won the game by staying in bounds and running for a critical first down. Well, Minshew's got to do that. I mean, Minshew's here managing games, and he has a pretty high completion percentage, Brandon, but he's got to play well, and he's got to do it against Patrick Surtain and a couple of really good safeties here. So do you think the Raiders are going to try to throw the ball? Do you think their strength would probably be running it and shorten the game?
Well, run at your own peril, because other than Kenneth Walker in in the third quarter, Week 1 in Seattle, that was the only time that the team's been able to run the ball on them. Tampa couldn't really do it. Bucky Irving, I think, had one nice run, but the Jets and Breece Hall had, I think, 10 yards maybe less, 4 yards on 10 carries. I can't remember exactly what it is. So I think the only way you're going to be able to move it is if you can find holes in the defense. But, you know, I talk about Pat Surtain and the level he's playing at. Riley Moss, who's in his, you know, first year starting, a rare white cornerback out of Iowa. He was banged up early last year and then a special teamer. He's played great, and he gets plenty of attention because PS2's on the other side. And then Jaquan McMillan, their slot corner, has been really, really good as well. And so throwing is just not easy to do against him. But we have seen that from Gardner Minshew going back to his college days, right? Especially coming into the pros. He is a gamer. And when you turn him into a game manager, unless your defense is playing lights out and you're running the ball great, I think you're minimizing what he can do. And I think that might have happened at times with the
This is the second time that happened. I know you're not touching anything, but, you know, come on, man. It's the second time. Let's get him up here to wrap that up again, please. Please. I mean, in the middle of doing an interview and the phone dies. So we don't have the phone ghost. Remember the phone ghost in the other studio? I couldn't even do a show because the phone ghost would pop in there. So we'll wrap it up with Brandon Cristal here on the other side. So that's where we're going. He's really good. I mean, that's a deep dive on what the Broncos do well. So I guess the Raiders have to outplay Bo Nix. They have to outplay Bo Nix, and they can't turn it over because Denver's secondary is really good, and they're unbelievable. And if you give the ball up or you throw a couple of 50-50 balls and they go get it, and that's gonna be an opportunity for Denver to turn it over and shorten the field for Bo Nix. That's what happened with the Jet game. That Jet game was brutally bad. I watched the whole game. So what I do is Sunday I'm buried, Monday I come up for air, Tuesday I watch two or three football games. And when I watch those games, the Bronco-Jet game was brutal, but they won. So to wrap it up, good to have you back here. Minshew, if he throws up 50-50 balls, I think Denver will go get one. But maybe Minshew, if Denver has their back turned and they're covering the speed guys for the Raiders, maybe Minshew can run a bit.
Yeah, well, especially underneath, they lost Alex Singleton a couple weeks ago. He tore his knee in the Tampa game and is done for the year, and he's always around the ball. And even if he's a little undersized, I mean, he's been just a tackling machine in Philly and here. And so they've got a backup in Justin Sternatt, who made his first career start the other day. The one thing Justin can do, though, is run. But
all right, we got phone problems here, so something's up. We'll wrap it up. Brandon, you there? Yeah, we lost him. So don't know what that is. We'll get out of here. We got Kevin Bollinger coming up next, and we'll figure it out there. So that's a preview of the Broncos. The Broncos are not very good, but it's the Raider game, and they're going all in. They're going all in on this game. They are going, they're going crazy for this game. So that's the way I see it here. Raiders are going to have to play an excellent game to win, period. The show's brought to you by the 872 Laborers, led by Tommy White. I see him at every game. He builds the city on time and on budget. We thank Tommy White for everything he does for the show and the 872 Laborers and everything they do for us.
What are they, second in the league in sacks or first league? I mean, the pass, it starts there, right? I mean, up front, they do a really nice job. They put a lot of pressure on you. They make you block a lot of one-on-ones, right? So they don't let you just sit there and slide to people. And so they put a lot of pressure on you and stress on you, and you gotta stand up to it. And they've done an excellent job, you know, really for the last season and a half now. So they definitely pose a problem for us that we're excited to take on that challenge, though.
Luke Getsy from earlier today, plus the Raiders had a locker room session. Kevin Bollinger, the sports director of Fox 5, is always there at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center Raiders headquarters. So Kevin joins us every 2 weeks. And in the slot, Kevin, a lot's changed since I last talked to you when I saw you at Allegiant Stadium on the pending Davante Adams news. How are you covering that story on Fox 5?
Well, JT, it's kind of a two-headed monster here in terms of how we're covering it. First, you want to get the reaction to the players that are here on the team. And then secondly, how are the Raiders going to move forward without him? We know he's not going to play this weekend, they're saying, because of the hamstring, but likely that he is not going to suit up for the silver and black again. So Luke Getsy speaking this morning. You know, we were able to kind of get a feel for him on his thoughts and gave the typical coach speak in terms of knowing that they have to kind of see what personnel they have each week, what personnel they're going up against, and then devise the right scheme. But in talking to the players, you know, some admitted, hey, look, it's going to be a distraction. We just have to focus in on what our job is. Others saying they're blocking the outside noise. But remember, this is a young Raiders roster. And so, you know, they've got to be able to block all that out as they go into Denver on Sunday.
I love what you just said there. It's a young Raiders roster. So not only is it the next man up, but the next leader in that locker room stepping up. I would think that Max Crosby would be the guy to do that. I know we both know Max, and I know him well, that if Max sees anything happening in that locker room, even though he's banged up and getting treatment, that he would go in there and clean it up and talk to the young players. Is that fair?
Totally fair. And he has a presence in the locker room, even though he is rehabbing that high ankle sprain. And he has his touches on both sides of the ball in terms of the personnel in there. So it's time for the current leaders to step up. And then also maybe we're going to see who some of the future leaders are for this Raiders team going forward down the road in a situation like this. And you know, Jacoby Myers is a veteran. He's a little softer spoken than some others, But when you have a young receivers room and young tight ends room, you're going to look for some veteran leadership here. And Jacoby Myers is the guy, I think, that is going to step up and kind of guide them through this.
Kevin Bollinger is our guest, sports director at Fox 5. You know, I'm looking at the team and the injury report, and there's no excuses. The injury report was a mess for both Cleveland and the Raiders. I mean, wow. We got the inactives, and I looked at it. I was like, who's playing in this game? Myles Garrett went. Max and Devontae clearly couldn't go. Now I look at it this week, and the only thing that concerns me the most is I've been doing this long enough to understand did not participate, then go to probable, and what questionable means. You're in the locker room today. I mean, how many guys can't practice, let alone try to get some camaraderie and get out there and try to play as a unit if they're on the injured list and they can't go?
Yeah, well, then the first injured list of the week yesterday had 18 Raiders on it, I believe. We're waiting for today's to come out officially. The Broncos have a little later practice in the afternoon, and so that list won't come out until the Broncos are done. But just because guys maybe aren't on necessarily on the field, it doesn't mean that they aren't kind of in the groupings. And they're obviously in the meeting rooms and everything else. But certainly the Raiders are nicked up. And, And look, it's a next man up league. I know it sounds cliche, but when you see somebody like Zamir White go on the list, Alexander Mattison's going to get a bigger role. You know, we heard Antonio Pierce say earlier in the week that he's earned more touches. He's going to get more touches more than likely. Not to say that Zamir White isn't going to have a role as well, but when injuries happen like that, it's time for the next guy to step up. And the Raiders have certainly been tested on that so far in this young season with a lot of injuries along the way.
How do you think Antonio Pierce handled it yesterday? I went first. He had me up in the studio. Then he went down to the media. And clearly the Davante Adams topic was not open. It was the hamstring. And we're moving on to Denver. A lot of people look at that differently. I've talked to people who said that's a mature way of being the head coach and not making this a big issue going into Denver and showing they're focused on Denver. How'd you see it?
Well, he's leading by example, and that's why he's the head coach of the Raiders right now. He came in and led this team last year when he took over as the interim for this exact reason. I mean, the reason that he was chosen to be the interim and the reason that the players fought so hard to get him this job permanently is that he was going to be the guiding light when they needed him to do something, and this is the route that they're taking with that. And I have no problem with that. I think it was an expectation that that was going to be kind of the narrative in terms of we're just going to stay focused on the task at hand. We can't control what's out of our control, and we're going to go up and line up with the guys that we have on the field. And certainly, again, going back to the young roster, the Raiders have one of the younger rosters in the NFL. They're going to look to their head coach to do that. He addressed the team in the morning, came out and talked to the media and to you as well with your one-on-one interview. And that's the route that they're going to take, and I have no problem with that. Now, how is that going to translate to when we get on the field on Sunday? We'll wait and see, but certainly last week against Cleveland, before the trade stuff started, but it was just the injury, the Raiders responded well to being down both Adams and Crosby.
All right, Kevin, so what's at stake here? I mean, it's a big spot. I can't go in a must-win game every week. I did that for Cleveland, and I felt like it was must-win. I don't think the Raiders survived this season 1-3. I don't. And especially with Denver winning 2 in a row, and they should have lost them both. They should have. They didn't. They beat Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't know of a time recently when the Broncos had this much momentum and the Raiders have to put out what's going on with Davante, extinguish that story, and focus on a win.
Well, they've won 8 straight. I'm sure you've hammered that point
home
a lot this week in 10 of 11. But we all know that the Broncos get hyped up when the Raiders come to town. They've got the reunions going on there as well. The big thing here to me is just looking at that Broncos defense. And as we came in from break, you heard Luke Getsy talk about how dynamic they are. And it's a team that's put up some really good numbers. This Raiders offense has got to find a way to move the football and put some points on the board. Obviously, the odds makers here at the sportsbooks in Vegas have a really low total on this game, so they're expecting it to be low scoring with these two defenses doing it. But the Raiders have got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone and get a couple touchdowns on the board and see if they can kind of do it that way and then move on from there. But it's a big game for them. It's a division game. They're 0-1 inside the division already with the loss to the Chargers. They need to get that back to .500, get above .500 overall, and then see where this thing goes moving forward.
Always appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JT.
Kevin Bollinger, sports director for Fox 5. Really good at what he does. That's brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. See their full menu at RaisingCane's.com. I'm getting a Caniac combo for my son on the way home here. Raising Cane's, proud partner of UNLV. Hey, you're going to see a lot of Raising Cane's signage inside Allegiant Stadium because they're the official partner of UNLV football. Undefeated, ranked in both polls with the Cuse. Syracuse coming to town, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. Good show today. Steph McKenzie, right? Kevin Bollinger, Brandon Kristol, Jay Vickers from UNLV, and Lee Sterling. That's a good show, man. That's really good, Bobby. I did nothing. You put it all together. Way to go. Q's coming up next. What does Q have to say? Well, I listen. I drive. I'm in the car. I listen to Q right after the show, and you can catch him at ESPN nationally at night. I'm focused for a pretty good weekend, man. I'm going to enjoy this UNLV Syracuse weekend. Got some good friends in town for that. I want to thank all of our proud partners. La Casa Cigars, I need a stick, Mike. I need a fresh Romeo and Julieta for my Raiders humidor that they gave me. Whoa, I'm name dropping today. Q's on deck. You'll have a great show.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.